Praise the Lord. Thank you very much for the welcome. And I give honor and thanks to Pastors Walker and Haley Schurz for this opportunity and privilege to preach God's word, and also to the entire leadership of the church here. We trust that the Lord will bless us together as we are coming to a communion service today. And we'll endeavor to look at God's word and see the significance of the communion and how to appropriate it in our lives. Amen. Praise the Lord. I was just thinking earlier that I don't know what you do with the load shedding if you're about to die and you need to contact the church during those times. And so the rule is, don't die. All right. Don't die during those times. When the electricity is back on, you can consider dying. All right. Okay. So, but nonetheless, there's no load shedding in heaven because Jesus is the light in heaven. No need for Zesco. But I want us to just look into God's word as we come to embrace the communion of God, the communion with God. Let's embrace it today. And I pray that as we look into God's word, we'll have a new appreciation of how significant this communion is and how important it is in our lives. And how that God has made everything available for us that pertains to our life in Him through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Shall we turn our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 11? It's a familiar portion of Scripture. And we'll take our reading from there and also from Matthew 26, 26 to 29. Let's begin reading from 1 Corinthians. And we want to make sure that it's no longer just a ritual that we are partaking of, but we are proclaiming and having an experience of faith. Because at the communion, there is a peculiar presence of God that as you appropriate it by faith, you receive the impact of what Jesus did in dying and rising from the dead. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 from verse 23. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "This is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." In the same way, after supper, He took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in My blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of Me." Now, here's a good reason for that. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. You proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. So already that passage of Scripture tells us that He in fact died. Now it says until He comes. So somebody who died cannot come if he's still dead. So He is coming because He is alive. Now what you are doing is proclaiming the fact that He died and what that meant, and also that He is coming again. So between the death and when He's coming, He lives. Amen? He lives. Now, let's have a look at Matthew 26, where Paul got this particular instruction. Matthew 26, verse 26. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to His disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is My body." Then He took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is My blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." And I want you to notice that, for the forgiveness of sins. "I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in My Father's kingdom." Praise God. Now I want to ignite our faith once again in just how much Jesus has done with regard to His death and His resurrection. Many Christians, like Bruce Wilkinson wrote, many Christians have a theology brimming with trust, but a heart full of suspicion. You say the right things, you believe the right things, in theory. But deep down your heart, there's a great suspicion. Is it really for me? Is it really so? Can I really experience this? Or perhaps you might even be saying, this is too good to be true. And oftentimes believers, perhaps, I might be correct in saying, live only a little minute experience of the vast things that God has made available. That separates those who are walking in faith and those who are not. Or those who truly believe the word and those who don't. I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm simply saying there's much more for us to appropriate in God and experience because he has made it available. Are you with me? So his death had accomplished many things. And so his life also establishes his kingdom. Now what I want us to speak on today is basically the power of that kingdom in the fact that he died and he rose again. The fact that he died, it meant something. And the fact that he's alive today means something to you and I. So I'm talking about kingdom promise, kingdom priority, and kingdom power. Amen. Kingdom promise, kingdom priority, and kingdom power. Therefore, living in God's kingdom, Jesus says, the kingdom of God has come. Living in God's kingdom brings two fundamental hopes for you and I. The most important, obviously, is that you have eternity with Christ. Correct? You have eternity with Christ. You are saved. You are translated from the power of the devil into God's life and God's kingdom. And you don't have to go to hell. Somebody said, going to hell is a choice. When God has made provision for you to be free and to be set free to be a child of God, we choose to go to hell by rejecting the offer of salvation. That is a very important thing because you can do everything in life and the Bible says you can gain the whole world but yet lose your own soul. And I can tell you for a fact, I don't want to go to hell. I don't know about you. There's roasting there. I don't want to go to hell. So, and then the second promise is that there is grace for reigning in this life, reigning in victory, reigning with the joy that Jesus has brought by bringing you new life. So we affirm in what we are about to do today in the communion, we affirm the fact that we are a part of God's kingdom and also that we are who we are in Christ and why we are in Christ. Let's begin with talking about kingdom promise. We have read in the passage that the kingdom, the Father's kingdom, and we are proclaiming Jesus until he comes. How many of you know and believe that Jesus is coming? We don't hear much of it sometimes, but it's true. He's coming. And I'm so glad he's coming because we'll end all this load shedding. The kingdom promise, through his death, the Bible says in John 10, chapter 10, verse 10, it says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. This is Jesus. That's the reason why he came. He came that you may have life and have it to the full. What does that mean? You can have a life that is fulfilling in God. Somebody says there's a God-shaped vacuum in all of us, and it can only be filled by God himself. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13 says, for he has rescued us from the kingdom, from the dominion of darkness, and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. That's what Jesus also spoke about when he was talking about the breaking of bread. The forgiveness of sins. When God forgives your sins, there's no better place to be. When your sins are forgiven, there's no longer any guilt. I mean, if we were to put on the big screen, we check your life from start to finish. What would we see? Just stop the video. Stop it a little bit. Maybe do a fast forward. Right? There is no sin too great that God can't forgive. And I think there's such a liberating truth in the fact that when Jesus died, he made it possible for your sins to be forgiven. And everything else stems from there. If you are forgiven, then everything follows. So he alters the limits that sin places on any individual. And anything that diminishes your life, Jesus has dealt with it. He has said, no more. The Bible also tells us that sin will not have dominion over you. Because he has removed the power of sin controlling our lives. It was for freedom that he set us free. No longer to be subject to a yoke of slavery, the Bible says. So this freedom that God has brought in the kingdom promise is free. Aren't you glad it's free? It can't be bought. It has to be free. Secondly, the kingdom priority Jesus is talking about is living the resurrected life. Living in this resurrected life that Jesus has made possible. Living the resurrected life, the testimony of who you are in him, in newness of life. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33 says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Everything else we seek for. The priority first is God's kingdom, God's rulership, God's ownership of our lives. Then everything else that we seek for shall be added. How often do we fall short of God's provision in giving us everything we need concerning life? And I'm not just talking about material things. Just everything that we need concerning our lives. Someone once wrote, "Leave Jesus alone if you can't love him alone." Leave him alone. Because his priority takes precedence, and in loving him, you even love other people, you even love your own life in loving him, because he gives you life. And so loving him and living in his life is where we find true fulfillment. So as we break bread, we're actually appropriating that possibility, or we are basically affirming the truth that that is exactly what we believe, and that's how we live. Thirdly, kingdom power with his reign. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 7 to 8 says these very important words. "As you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near." This is your job description. Listen to this. "Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give." Did you know that God has given you power over the powers of the enemy? Am I the only one who believes that? Did you know that? God has given you power over all the powers of the enemy. Now, some people like to say, "Don't talk against the devil like that. You'll get upset." Just leave him alone. Now, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, even if you leave him alone, he won't leave you alone. And I know he doesn't like me anyway. So I must appropriate the power that God, who loves me, has made available for me to overcome him in my life. Are you with me? He's given you power. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. He's given you the capacity to overcome. Because you are a child of God. He's given you the capacity to overcome. "I have given you authority." Luke chapter 10, verse 19. "To trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you." Now tell your neighbor, "Nothing will harm you." Tell them like you believe it one more time. "Nothing will harm you." That's what the Bible says. Nothing will harm you. It's because he's given you authority to trample over serpents. Now, here's the key. A lot of things in the scriptures is to act in faith. To enact the word in faith. Now, I want to say this. I am African and so are you. So what I'm about to say, I'm not insulting. Okay? The best way, let me give you a tip. The best way to scare an African. Just get some white chicken feathers tie a knot on the feathers, get a red pen and just mark it out, some red ink on it, red ink, and then for good measure, get a chicken liver and attach it. Right. And then go and put it on the doorstep and walk away. You've solved the problem. They won't come out of the house. They'll be making phone calls. That's an African.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, there is something in the house. There is just something. Somebody has done something. I'm telling you.
They'll be making phone calls. And it's just chicken feathers, chicken liver, and some red ink. I remember as kids, we were told all kinds of stories, what not to do. It's typical in Africa. It's typical. When you're passing by a grave, be quiet. See? You just might wake them up. But isn't that a good thing? Isn't it a good thing to wake them up? And we were talking earlier, don't point at the grave. Don't point. Something will happen to you. And it's amazing and it is sad in the sense that even Christians are subject to the fear of witchcraft. The fear of witchcraft. Some things, let's just be real. No, but I am being real. I am being real by the fact that Jesus has overcome. I'm being real. I decided, and I'm not perfect, I decided that I must try and appropriate this word, right? I must live it. And if God says it's mine, I must find a way that I live in it. I must appropriate it. So, and the Bible says he gives his beloved sleep. So why should I have nightmares? Every night, Vaisa. Who has come? Who has come? Just sleep. You understand what I'm saying? And as a believer, and I've come across believers, even, I dare say, even a minister, afraid of witchcraft. Afraid. And first, let me tell this story. I didn't tell it in the first service, but let me tell it. It illustrates the point very importantly. Jesus has covered you with his presence. Your life is with Christ hidden in God. As a believer, you know you're so secure, you don't even know it. I remember once I was in a church. I was one of the leaders of a church. Perhaps I just leave it nameless. And there was a Satanist woman who came into the church. So if you are here and you are a Satanist, I am addressing you. Kindly desist from your machinations. Okay. And get saved. Okay? Right. So there was a Satanist woman who came and she was assigned to kill me and kill the bishop of the church. I don't know, maybe in my talking I agitate. I don't know. Like I'm doing now. But anyway. So, she came and was in the church and she was doing her incantations. You know, she was. I'm talking about a real life story. It's not something, I'm talking about me, okay? So she was doing her incantations and stuff. And, I mean, I didn't feel anything. I didn't feel anything. I was still normal. You know, I didn't suddenly go. You know? There was nothing like that. I just simply was normal and greeting, you know, hi, how are you? You know, praise the Lord, fine, you know, this and that. And then the way we found out, and she got into, she was determined. So she got into the car of the bishop of the church. She asked for a lift because she wanted to continue. She asked for a lift and you know, as a pastor, you're nice. Oh, yeah, you know, come. Even when you don't want, you know, come and, you know. So she got into the back seat and then she started her incantations. But they worked in reverse. She got so sick
very, very sick. And the man was just driving comfortably, you know. Oh, look at that, you know. And the way we found out is that she needed prayer because of her sickness. So in the prayer, the prayer team, when they were praying, then the demons manifested, right? And then she began to confess. I came to kill that bald-headed guy. I said, what's wrong with me? I mean, I'm just okay, you know. I mean, I'm married. I must be okay. But somebody says, how did you manage that? The anointing, duh. So she revealed that she wanted to kill me and kill, you know, the bishop. And what I'm illustrating is that the anointing or the grace that God has placed upon your life protects you. You don't need to fear. As a matter of fact, you need to exercise your authority. See, you appropriate the results of what Jesus did in his death and his resurrection because he's made these things possible. Peace is yours. Healing is yours. Joy is yours. Fulfillment is yours. Here's the key. When you do something wrong, just repent. Simple. Just say, you know what? Sorry. I mean, God, sorry. I am really sorry. You know, let's get on the same page again. Simple. Like somebody said, keep short accounts with God. If you've done something wrong, just say sorry. Say, repent and say, God, you know, here I am. I'm coming again. So, peace is yours. All these good things that Jesus has made available. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 4 says this. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth. Amen. Into a living hope. Everybody say, a living hope. Yes, into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Remember, he died. And he's coming again. And into an inheritance that can never perish. That inheritance you have in God can never perish, spoil or fade. Kept in heaven for you. Kept in heaven for you. He's made it possible. Even you. It's not a preserve of some special people. As a matter of fact, sin is an equalizer. Everybody has sinned. And grace is also an equalizer. For the grace of God has appeared unto all men. It's an equalizer. We have been given different facets about our lives, but generally, as human beings, we are equal. And we come to God on an equal footing, and our solution is equal. So I want to encourage you today, don't think about communion with God as a ritual that you just take and say it's part of the church tradition. You are enacting by faith some powerful truth that you can appropriate every time you take it. Every time. If there's something in your heart and your mind, there is nothing too big for God to solve. There is no condition that you're in that he can't remedy. There is no sickness that you have that he can't deal with. If it were so, he wouldn't be God. Because he is God, there is nothing too hard for him. And by the way, there is nothing too hard. There's no impossibility for him that believeth. Because you appropriate the grace of God. So, in our communion today, I'm saying two very important things. You as a person who needs the forgiveness of God, appropriate that forgiveness. Because he died. And the reason why he died is that he might make it possible for you to get into the kingdom of God. And secondly, you as a child of God can appropriate every rich blessing that Jesus has made available. Every rich blessing. Peace of mind. Healing in your body. Joy in your spirit. Fulfillment in your whole life. Isn't it a joy that if you were to drop dead now, it's still okay? It's still all right. You are straight
One-way ticket. Somebody's waiting for you at the pearly gates, as we like to say. There is no greater security in this life than to know that even while you live, you are victorious. Even if you died, you are victorious. Can I hear an amen to that?
Amen.
Therefore, I want to give an opportunity. And I know because we're doing communion, I want to give an opportunity for those of you who do not know Jesus. You do not have to live that way. You do not have to end up in a destructive life and end up in hell. And that's the truth. You don't have to, because the provision has been made. And you did not come here by accident. God wanted you to hear this. And God is giving you an opportunity to make things right with Him. And the Bible tells us that all things become new. All your sins are forgiven. Even that one. Even that one. It's forgiven. Everything. So, as we come to this time, may I just ask the pastors to come. I want to give an opportunity for those of you who say, I really do not know Jesus. I really don't. And if I was to die today, I'm not even sure what's going to happen to me. But the greatest news is that you can make things right. Things can be well for you. Things can change for you. So let's bow our heads for a few moments. And believer, be encouraged. Believer, be encouraged. God hasn't changed His position of power. God hasn't changed His position of grace. God hasn't changed His position of love. No matter what the weight of problems they are, cast your cares upon Him because He cares for you. Now in this auditorium, on this very special day, life can change for you. Is there someone among us here who say, yeah, I think, pray for me. I need Jesus in my life. I want to make a fresh new start. And I want to be confident that I belong to Him. And from this day onwards, I'm going to truly be a child of God. And I'm going to ask His strength that I live a resurrected life. Is there someone among us? Please raise your hand so I can see it. Is there someone among you want to receive Jesus? You want a transformation in your life? You want things to start anew? There's a hand there. Thank you for that hand. Is there someone else? Someone else across the audience? This is your opportunity. Don't let this moment pass you by. It has nothing to do with embarrassing you. It's have everything to do with you acknowledging by faith that you need God to come into your life and change it. Is there somebody else among us? We give you a few moments. There's another hand. Thank you. There's another hand there. God bless you. Is there somebody else? And there's a decision process happening in your heart right now. Don't let it pass you by. Don't let it pass you by. We don't know. Thank you for that hand. We don't know when it will be over. But at least we'll know that in the safe arms of the Lord, it doesn't matter what happens. You are secure. Those of you who raise your hands, please stand to your feet and just make your way to the front there, to the altar. We did this ourselves many years ago. And you're not doing anything strange. You're just acknowledging that, yes, I want to believe God and I want Him to change my life. So please come to the front so that we can have an opportunity to pray for you. All those who raise your hands, please come to the front. We're waiting for you. Thank you. Let's give them some encouragement as they come. What a privilege it is. And the Bible says there's rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that comes to the Lord. Rejoicing in heaven. Excitement. This is the reason why Jesus came. That you might have life and have it more abundantly. And the decision you have made is the best decision that you've ever made in your life. And whether young or old, this is the right decision. Now I want us to just pray together. You're not joining a church. You're not even doing some religious thing. What you're doing is coming into the kingdom of God, coming into life in Jesus. And your sins are forgiven. No more hell. No more hell for you. It's over. The Bible says all things are passed away. Everything becomes new. It doesn't matter how many things were wrong in your life. This day, you're turning a fresh new page where everything is clean. So I want you to just raise your hands as a sign to the Lord. You're surrendering to Him. And I'm going to pray. And you follow my prayer. And you are praying to God. You're not praying to me. Neither are you praying to the church. I'm just helping you in your prayer. You say it after me. And perhaps congregation, let's help them with this prayer. Say, "Dear God, I come to you in Jesus' name. I thank you for speaking to me. And today, I have heard your word. And today, I respond. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Forgive my sins. Wash them away. And today, I confess you as my Lord and my Savior. And today, I choose to follow you all the days of my life. Thank you, Lord, that I am a child of God. I am forgiven. I am a candidate of heaven. Thank you, Lord, for cleansing me and accepting me. In Jesus' name, amen." God richly bless you.